Today on Grey's Anatomy, we talk about choosing sides. Which side are you on? We'll talk all about it. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing the Grey's Anatomy After Show, the episode you're gonna need someone on your side.
Oh, wow.
Oh, goodness.
Perfect title.
Totally.
Oh,
very
my goodness.
Fitting. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. And I have
Tara Johnson. You can find me, as always, at TJ Wagging Her Tail.
All right, you're going to need someone on your side. Lots of sides to choose from.
A lot of sides.
And I think there were multiple reasons of just picking people's sides. Not just Arizona and Cali,
no.
But there's a lot of
There was a lot of choosing in this episode.
For sure. Real quickly, what were your thoughts?
You know, it wasn't like this exciting type of episode where you had like these medical cases that were this complicated thing. It was kind of a very slow pace. Kind of steady episode, but I felt like it was one of these kind of things where people really made some decisions and transitions and things happened that kind of set up for the, you know, future. Miranda, Cali, Arizona, so there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
There's a lot of choosing sides in all which directions. Overall, I did enjoy this episode. I feel like, and we've talked about it before, that like they tend to like go every other episode, like one episode's all patient, the serious traumatic cases, and then the next episode is all about the relationships,
right?
And then we go back to the patients. They always like go back and forth, and I felt this one was more about the doctors rather than the cases.
Very much so, but
it's still fun to watch.
Yeah, but the one patient that we had was so similar to what so many of the doctors were attempting to choose that it was. Yeah. Everyone was just on like the same path in this episode, or actually not. They were choosing what path they were going to be on in this episode, as a matter of fact.
Let's get to the patient, shall we? The patient of the day. I mean, we had two patients, but this was like the real patient that we actually focused on. Patient Leo Paulson, 76-year-old. He fell down a flight of stairs. But we find out that he's actually been having this romantic relationship with his doorman, Vincent.
Right.
After all these years.
I have to say, I think the relationship between Vincent and Mr. Paulson, as he called him, being the doorman, you know, and when Leo said, I've never cheated on my wife, but you said for 15 years you've had glances, you've walked by each other, you have conversations at his station. An emotional affair, especially in my opinion for a man, is so much deeper than a physical one. Like, you've been in a full-blown relationship. You are like head over heels in love.
Yeah, and it was interesting to watch because even visually, we saw a quick moment of like hand-holding and just a glimpse of some physical interaction that, you know, there's something more deeper down.
Did you know from the jump?
I was going to ask you, did you from ever the jump. Think?
From
here.
The jump.
I put in my notes, oh, they're
definitely
in a relationship.
A definitely something going on.
But it feels like that because Leo Paulson was older in age and probably part of that generation that's not, you know, homosexuality is not really part of that generation, that he was probably too afraid to admit it at that age.
Absolutely. Not only was it the age, it was, we don't think anything of it, like an interracial couple. Now, I don't think twice.
No, homosexuality story and topic and just like in and of itself is way more acceptable nowadays than it was back 15 years ago.
Totally.
Which is how long it's been going on between Leo and Vincent, this whole back and forth
years.
Between them.
He also stressed, I loved how he said, well, I thought it was really sad when he said, my wife is happy. I've been married, I have so many kids, so many grandkids, but he never focused on himself, and it's, you know, that generation of people, you get married, you try your best to stay married. And we talk so much more now about what a happy marriage really means and what you have to do. Then it was kind of like you get married, you have a family, you are a family person, you stay married.
Yeah, and even Leah was saying, like, he has all these grandkids yeah. and kids just in general. It's like he was really talking about how well of a family he does mm-hmm. have, mm-hmm. and he doesn't want to ruin that. And I understand that, and I'm like, I felt bad.
Oh, I felt also, horrible.
Especially for Vincent. Poor Vincent. Oh, my goodness, because we see all this interaction. Vincent's always there, never left his side, really. And then there was that moment where he was telling, I believe it was Meredith.
Yeah.
He's like, these are all his information, Leo's information, and like his medical stuff. I was like, if you're just a doorman,
right.
how do you know all that information about right. Vincent?
Absolutely.
Like, that was your first indication.
That's your first indication. And then when Leo asked Vincent, is my wife here? It wasn't as if like that was the first phone call. It was even a question like, have you even called her? Because he was like, mm-hmm. you're here. When he got his cancer diagnosis, he didn't ask for his wife. He asked for Vincent. Is Vincent still here? It was such a sad state of affairs that makes me think how many other people, which we know, young, old, whatever,
yeah.
you know, people are not living their truths. It's just a really difficult thing, but my heart just went out for him.
And I felt even more bad because now we find out that Leo has cancer.
A year. 6 months to a year.
A year. And Meredith had one of the most heartbreaking lines. Or, you know, Leo was like, this has been going on for 15 years between Leo and Vincent. And Meredith was like, well, you have one more.
One more. What That's are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it?
Make the most of it.
What are you going to do?
And I felt so bad for the wife as well because she seemed like really friendly towards Vincent. Yeah. Like, Vincent is a family friend.
Yeah, she tipped him.
And she had no idea. She tipped him. That was so sad to watch.
But she tipped him genuinely thinking this is, I mean, her mind.
Like, you're just a doorman.
This is what a doorman does. This is the greatest doorman ever. He's attentive to my husband. I'm sure they've lived in that building for 15 plus years.
Oh yeah.
He's like a family member. I'm sure they give him Christmas presents, blah blah blah.
But Vincent's look on his face, that was so heartbreaking because it seems like they won't be anything more.
No. And I think I just had a feeling like we were saying this episode was so much about crossroads and people making decisions. Something like that, it's hard I think to come back from. Like once you're at this place where we don't know if Mr. Paulson told, you know, Vincent or not about his cancer diagnosis. We don't know anything. All we know is he had a moment to make a decision and he said, and you can go now. And then the wife tipped him. And it was just kind of like, you can't recover from that. That's how I felt. I don't know how you guys felt, but I felt like it's really, like he was like, it's over, you know?
Which was very sad to watch because Vincent seemed like such a nice guy.
Well, they seemed like such a great couple.
They could have been a great couple.
I guess that's right. They could have been a great couple.
They were both true to themselves and really, unfortunate because like he does have a great family, and if you might break that up
right.
if you come out,
yeah.
But and I think that's just great, great storytelling and writing because mm-hmm. that's so relatable to so many people.
So many people,
especially today.
Oh, of course, it was
very topical.
It broke my heart. And I'm still thinking now, because, you know, of course, these characters become so real to you. I'm like, what does Vincent do when he goes home? What does Mr. Paulson do? They're going to, you know, if Vincent stays at that building, how are they going to interact from now on? I mean, I know they're characters. I know. But, you know,
yeah,
that's how much the story kind of like
resonates with so many
people. Yes, like, wow, let me think about this.
Good on you, Grace.
Yeah, it was good.
Shoot.
It's good.
Like, talk about patient stories pulling at your heartstrings.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
All right, so let's get to Ben and Bailey. They're still kind of working out their issues between husband and wife, doctor and resident, chief and resident
right.
more so. All right, so we see Bailey in the OR, not thinking that Ben and her would ever cross paths during OR, but of course they have to, and Ben's the anesthesiologist during that operation.
This bothers me. This bothered me about this episode. Mm-hmm. It bothered me because at the end of the episode, we see Miranda actually putting the surgeries and everything on the board.
Yes.
She's the chief. Why in the world would anyone ever pair Miranda and Ben in an OR? Just like, why would anyone pair Penny and Arizona on
together.
A service? Like, I know yes. it's to cause drama and that kind of thing, but that those two things in this episode, I was like, come on.
A little contrived?
Really? Just is that bit. What we're doing today? That was a bit much for me.
But I liked how they, because eventually we were going to have to get
yes,
it.
Yes, of course.
Because they were fighting now. And we even see it at the beginning of the episode. They're fighting at home. I'm like, what happened to the whole church and state?
Of course. What happened to church and state?
They're fighting about the hospital at home. I was like, no, this is not good.
And the man's still sleeping on the couch.
Still sleeping on the couch.
What the heck?
But what do you think of the operation and how that all went down? And we find out that there was a situation where there was a air embolus.
Right.
Some medical term, air embolus. And Ben Hester, he was very quick on his feet. He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
For that. He's an anesthesiologist. He knew how to alleviate the situation really quick. So I give him props to that. But everyone else saying, like, you're arrogant. You're arrogant, Ben. Do you agree with this?
Okay. Do I think... I haven't always agreed with Ben's actions in the past, but I will also say this. You know what you know, right? And the man knows his stuff when it comes to being an anesthesiologist. He just does. And I know there's a fine line between being confident and being arrogant. I didn't find him arrogant. I found him to be confident.
And cocky.
And confident and cocky. I didn't find him to be cocky. I found him to be like, this is what I'm here for. And because he's being threatened and everything else that he's doing, he has to stand firm in this and prove that he can do something. Because, you know, everyone, including his wife in the OR, and as she's asking everyone and getting involved in their business, which I thought was so unprofessional, he had to prove himself in some way.
Okay, well, I'll ask, because when the situation was going down, he was very, you know, medically in charge of the situation. I get that was confidence, because he does know what he's doing. But when it came to the actual argument of, I'm not beholden to you, but the people that you work with, you'll never know what they'll truly think of you, but I don't have to do that. What do you think of that? Do you think that was confidence, or do you think that was cockiness and arrogance?
I have to say, I think that was the truth.
That was true. I felt that was very arrogant.
Did you feel that was arrogant? I felt, but the thing
more
is,
so ignorant.
Well, I just felt like bringing the whole Tuck. We took Tuck to the zoo. I just thought it was so out of line to do that, and so completely unprofessional to do that on Miranda's part.
I get it. Well, yes. You should not be talking about personal problems.
I thought it was completely out of line.
We get this tension.
Yeah, and then she was trying to bring Maggie and Riggs into basically their bedroom problems and have them side with her in the operating room.
Choosing sides.
And Ben was just like, you can say what you want to say, but in this situation,
I'm not
beholden to you right now. I'm Dr. Warren, anesthesiologist in a different department. I think what he said, look, it might have come across as a little bit nasty, but it was the truth. I took it as the truth.
It's the truth. I saw it nasty.
Oh, no.
Nasty truth.
It definitely
truth
had a little tone to it. Yeah,
truth hurts. I think it's the way he delivers his lines.
Of course. But she can deliver a couple of stings, too.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's kind of why they're good together, because they just balance each other out that way.
When he is a resident, he has no power. Because that's what Maggie said. She's the chief. She has all the power. So when he's a resident, he has no power.
I loved how Maggie was the one who, like, really told it to him straightforward. Like, hey, she has the power. She can kick you out.
Right.
But because you're her husband...
Right.
She's only because of that reason is the reason why you're still here at this hospital.
I love the fact it was Maggie who talked to Ben, but I also love the fact it was Riggs who talked to Bailey. Because I think they both need to talk. Like, someone needed to talk to both of them.
I think it was good. Do you think Riggs was in line talking to Bailey about that?
I do. I think someone needed to say to her, look. And I think it was appropriate, being from a male perspective, just simply saying, yes, he might not have done the right thing, but the man needs to work. Like, he's a person. He needs to feel like he can do something. And that's what he's trying to do. You just need to kind of let him do this. Right or wrong, you know, we can talk about whether Ben was right or wrong in his actions, and we all know he was wrong.
Oh, yeah, we all know
he was wrong.
But I think they did keep bringing up what I've been trying to say is, like, did he learn his lesson
at the
end of the day?
Yeah, has he learned his lesson? Right.
And he still hasn't. You can tell he still hasn't.
No, he still hasn't. But I do think he's suffering. I do 100% think he's suffering.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, when you're professionally licensed to do a certain profession and career and whatnot, and you're not able to, I get that's frustrating.
It's painful.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what career you're in, that's frustrating. But it's the way he went about it.
Sneaky. Yeah, but he's 6 months. He can't be a resident. He's falling behind. He knows everyone's talking about him. And he's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
And now he has to get, like, jumped onto the OR. Come on.
Bailey's still not happy that he's in the OR. Because, you know, we quickly talked about it, but we see her right on the board. Warren's name's still there.
Right.
She's letting him still work.
Yes.
She's not happy with it, but he's still working.
Maybe that's...
Lesson learned? Still no.
Right. No, but I think her writing his name on the board and, like... somewhat silent, like signing off on him doing surgery is probably more of the church than the state. Like, that is her husband. That is her husband.
I know. And okay, so if they weren't married, I think Ben's ass would totally be dropped.
He'd be at another hospital. It would be no Ben
Warren.
He
wouldn't be even on the show.
No, absolutely not. Not at all.
All right.
He has to know his wife is helping him some.
Goodness. All right, let's get to another relationship who's had their ups and downs as well, but kind of on the upside now, April and Jackson.
Well, you know, they're exactly where I would like them to be.
They're getting there. They're civil.
All right. Civil and friends.
April.
That's it.
She's having a checkup with Jackson.
That's good.
But something kind of goes wrong. Arizona, she needs to work on her poker face.
Yeah.
Because they find out there that there might be some chromosomal abnormalities. Not sure if it's happening. How did you miss this? What do you think of April? Do you think she overreacted during this situation?
Absolutely. But I think it wasn't personal. It sounded personal. I blame you. You should have caught this.
Yeah.
I trusted you to get this.
I trusted you before. April, no.
And it was just being a freaked out mom. I've never been in the situation, but I can only imagine. She came down a little hard on her, so it wasn't personal. It was out of line, though. It was out of line.
I think it was emotional.
Yeah, it was totally.
For sure.
Yeah, it was out of line.
I get where April's coming from, considering, like, she hasn't been at this state with a baby ever, and she lost, and she had to say the line, like, I lost my child in my arms.
Totally.
Like, yes, we know April.
Right.
But you still shouldn't overreact like that.
No, it was harsh. And Arizona could have easily said to her, yes, you trusted me to diagnose whatever, but I can't diagnose what you don't let me check because it took you forever to get any kind of like real care. Oh, but she didn't pull that punch. I mean, that would just be way out of line on her part.
Like,
right.
Sometimes because even as, I mean, we know time has passed since the last time she actually agreed to get a healthy checkup on the baby. But like a lot of times you don't pick things up till later. Till when the baby's more fully developed.
She has to know that. She has to know. That's why I thought I was just
like... That's what was frustrating. It's like, you know, problems can arise at any time. It's like, what was there now couldn't have been there like a month ago.
It's a baby. It's growing every single day. That's why I was kind of like, is she serious right now? I'm not... But it was emotional.
It was a little too much.
It was a little too much. It was emotional.
So April gets a baby MRI, has to go under general anesthesia. But they find out it was definitively nothing.
Which is great.
False glitch.
Which is great.
And then Arizona's like, I needed this. I'm sorry, I overreacted. But what do you think of Arizona? Be like, I can't
Perfect.
Be your doctor.
Perfect move.
Great move.
Perfect move, because if anything goes wrong, which right now we're not even thinking that, if there's ever going to be anything else, she's going to flip out on her again. And because they're friends... It's too painful. I mean, if your friend flipped out on you like that, it's not so easy to turn the other cheek and forgive, even if you know it's not really personal.
Especially that, because April and Arizona has been up and down with their relationship.
Absolutely.
Too. And I think because now Arizona and April are kind of in a good place, that Arizona's like, no, we can't have another fight right now.
Can't. And Arizona has her own stuff going on. She was there for April with April doing everything with Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she needs support too. And she doesn't need any type of bad blood. I mean, of course, we thought she was going to ask Arizona and Jackson to like testify for her. I mean, for April. But she didn't get a chance to. But she needs friends in her own, like in her corner too. She doesn't. Yeah. This is just too much.
I think it was just for being friends in general, yes. Not because I don't want to be friends with you just so you can testify for my
right.
case.
No.
Now this was just like a true genuine friendship.
It was like this is too much and too close.
I like that.
I'd rather be friends than to be your doctor.
Good on Arizona. Be like, no, I'm stepping back.
Great on Arizona part. Great on Arizona's part.
Another person who I always think is great. Granted, she has her moments, but Emilia Owen. Tara, you're like, nah.
I'm like, you can turn my mic off right now.
Really? No.
It's
okay.
Okay. I can appreciate Emilia's honesty in this episode. I think relationships are scary. And so I appreciate her being like, I'm going to screw this up. I don't know what to do. You totally scare me, that kind of thing. I think we've all been in that situation.
I liked it. It felt so real.
I liked it too. It's something about the two of them together.
No, I like them together.
See, I don't really all like right. them together.
You're not for them, I am for them.
Yeah, and there you go. What do you guys?
There's a balance.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what makes us interesting.
Yes, of course.
Okay. I like Emilia and Owen. And I say it every week, Amelia, she has to grow on people. I feel for her. I know I sound like a broken record, but I do.
But well, I so do. Why? Because I'm like, I don't like her.
But I like this moment between her, and because even like the other residents are like, where do you really stand with Owen? You guys are always on and off, and we don't right. know. Because we saw at the beginning of the episode, they were sleeping together on the couch. And
I was mad at that episode because we didn't see more. I mean, the chess action was popping a little bit. I can appreciate that. Owen, do your thing. I was just a little, I felt
oh,
as if.
We saw his thing.
Right. I feel as if the audience was actually, you know, we were cheated. You know, what they saw in the morning, I mean, let's all see it. If we're going to talk about it, let's all see it. That's all I'm saying.
Want to see the goods.
That's all I'm saying.
Go from PG to PG.
You know, something. Let me see something. What's going on?
Well, I think it was, the fact that we didn't see, but they kept having this running joke throughout the whole episode, I think was actually pretty funny. Some levity.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
But it's even causing the other residents, you know, Maggie and Meredith, like, hey, where do you stand?
Well, you know where they stand. I mean, like, they can go back and forth, but how many times can you go back and forth? You're in a relationship. Like, yeah. Stop like, it.
Girl, just admit it.
Yeah, right. Stop it, girl. Stop it.
Admit it. And then I love Meredith at the end of the episode. It's like, what did she say? Get it together, sisters.
Get it together. But I find it so amazing that the evolution of Meredith Grey over these 12 seasons. Mm-hmm. Remember, Meredith had to almost go to therapy when the show first started to ever be in a relationship. Like, she pushed Derek away. I'm broken. I can't do this. And now she is the one of all the people encouraging everyone to be in love. Like, she has like this love thing that she's the one who's coaching everyone into love right now. It's such an amazing development.
She's been through it too.
Of course. So. Yeah. And she misses her love. Like,
yeah. Where's her man right now? Where's her new man?
So I just think I'm listening to her going, get it together, and you run for Maggie, you do the same thing. And I was like, who is this person talking?
I like it though.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It just shows how much our characters evolved because I'm just like, you're the person? Whoa.
And just how much she's evolved with those two girls.
True.
Those two women, I should say.
That's very
because,
true.
Because like they both didn't start out on great terms with Meredith.
Yes.
And now they're just at this point where it's like relationship advice, life advice.
Yeah.
Totally for it.
They're like friends. They're almost like, you know, Phoebe.
They are
and
friends. They're family.
they're like Phoebe, Monica, and Rachel.
I love that. Not nearly as funny.
We're not nearly as funny,
but
like...
Yeah, I get that.
You know, they're
maybe
the three.
Maybe one day they'll all just be on a couch wearing wedding dresses.
Oh, right.
they're that kind of... Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. But that's another
Did you
show.
Guys catch that Friends reference? That was good.
Show.
That was good.
Thank you. But Emilia does go up to Owen, and just I loved how like nervous she kind of was because
true.
Love is scary, and she I just loved her whole monologue. I won't repeat the whole thing, but it's because it's going to be work, and it's harder to love someone than to walk away from them.
That's 100% true.
Messy and scary.
How many times have you like met someone and be like, oh no, this is and just ditch it, just like this is too much.
A lot of people do that.
Totally.
Like, whether you're a male or female, It's like if you're a lot of times when it gets scary, you just leave.
You just leave.
Because you don't know how to deal with
it. It's safer, right. It's safer and like, yeah, I don't want to deal with this. Yeah. Yeah.
Scares the life out of me.
Scares the life. I've been there. Confession. And been there.
Oh. Owen's so into it. And he says, you know, they're really together. And they just wind up screwing things. Like, oh, well. Let's screw some things up.
I will say, even though I don't necessarily like them together as a couple, I like Owen as a male character because he's such, and don't get me wrong, he has his issues, whatever, whatever, but he's such a solid guy. Like, he's such a solid rock that she needs something to ground her. And if anyone who's on the show right now is going to do it, he seems like the only person to be able to do it. So it seems like a likely pair. Maybe not. I won't vote for it, but it seems like a likely pair.
I think it's a real pair. Like, a very relatable pair.
Yeah, that's true. In a way. That's definitely true.
Maybe not real, but, like, relatable.
That's true. I can get with that.
There you go.
Still not voting for it, but I can get with that point.
I like it. I like it. So, now that they DTR'd, there we go. I like it. All right, let's talk about another relationship that was kind of started off great, ended up bad. Edwards and Kyle. Aw, poor Kyle Diaz. He comes back, now kind of in a relationship with Edwards. What do you think of Edwards and how she was not really quite there yet? More so, like, I mean that, like, she didn't really want to admit that she's in a relationship.
Right.
She did not want to say that she's his girlfriend, very reluctant.
Very.
And we did see that one shot where, like, he was trying to hold her hand, and then, like, she pushed it away.
Right, right.
Like, ooh.
I honestly, this storyline went completely left because I was expecting, and especially because via YouTube comments, I think we talked a couple weeks ago about speculating whether Stephanie's character was going to stay on Grey's Anatomy or not. I almost thought this was going to take an Izzy Denny kind of, like,
oh my goodness,
angle.
You're going to kill Kyle
Diaz?
Well,
not kill him, but remember, no. Like, with Izzy, you know, she, like, Denny needed the heart, and, you know,
right.
She did
cut the alva.
Right, exactly. I thought it was going to take that kind of path because when Stephanie came in, I was like, you're going to get fired right now because you are, like, one, you are speaking for the patient and you're trying to be the doctor. You're trying to be everyone. Like, you're sucking the air out of the entire room right now. Bring it down some, honey. That's what I wanted to say in the beginning. Bring it on down.
But I like the fact that she was making decisions, too, because it kind of showed that she actually cared.
Yes,
for,
I get,
like,
that.
What was best for Kyle. Not just for the patient, but what was best for Kyle. Because, like, she's truly having real feelings for Kyle that she just wants him to be better.
But she was being not only Kyle, like, she was, you could see, like, 50 people in the room, and she was all of them. It was like, she was Amelia as the doctor, then she was also DeLuca as the intern. Like, she was trying to do everything, including speak for Kyle. I was like, I get it, but calm, like, bring it on down a little bit.
But I think that's kind of very true to her character, too. That she's always has to be the one who's on
true.
Top of everything.
That's why I thought. I was like,
very
she's
controlling.
Getting fired. Like, this chick is out of here.
Very controlling. But what do you think of Amelia during this, where she's like, no, you are not a doctor. You are not a surgeon today. You are a person who has to wait in the waiting room.
You're the family member from hell. Okay. You're making me do it again. I'll give Amelia points. I will give her points when points are necessary.
And credit is due.
And this was a case. I mean, this was one of the cases. I loved how she took her badge and was like, nah, chick, the red line is your stop. You know, give me your badge. You're
literally
not
the red
crossing
line is your stop.
This red line. But it was needed and necessary. What I'm having a problem with is, I know what Stephanie said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just felt strange to me. I understand she grew up and she had health problems and it's difficult for her to sit out in the waiting room.
In and out of hospitals.
In and out of hospital. I get that. But I guess the thing that really struck me was when she was initially talking to Amelia and she was like, I'm not going to be in the operating room. She was like, you want me to what? Sit outside? As if, like,
the nerve.
I'm a regular person. I really thought she was going to simply say, just like Christina used to say, I choose surgery. I choose surgery over love. I choose surgery over everything. I thought that's what Stephanie was going to say. So her explanation, it just kind of threw me.
Yeah. I agree with this because I was very frustrated how it went down as well, because we see DeLuca has to go into Edward's place instead of Edward's being part of that surgery. And fortunately, Kyle pulls through. He's good.
Right.
But we see Edwards go back to Kyle when he's still sleeping and when I puts the note on the side.
Punk move. Punk move.
Cold. Did you expect this from Edwards? A breakup via letter. A Dear John letter.
This was a, you know, Burger Carry Sex in the City post-it note. Like, this was straight punk move.
Cold.
It was so cold and calculated. And Kyle, for as hot as he, you know,
cowardly,
is.
Cowardly, though.
He was what?
I feel it was cowardly, also.
I thought it was definitely cowardly. And Kyle was hot. He seemed to be really into her. And I think he deserved at least better than that. Like, he was trying. You know what I mean? So, to wake up, you've gone through the surgery that happened in less than 24 hours, because he walked in with a question and then was in surgery the same day. And to wake up with this note, it's, come on. You got to do better than that.
Yeah, I just, and her justification and explanation at the end of this, like, I chose me. Not surgery, not Kyle, right. I chose me. Do you think this is strong enough argument / logic for her to break up with Kyle?
I guess in her mind, I didn't buy it. It was something about, to me it was, you're running scared, or you just feel as if you just need to be because when she first met him, she said he's going to be a distraction to me being a surgeon. It didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel honest.
No.
It didn't feel honest. It definitely was cowardly.
It was very cowardly. And I'm just trying to, maybe justify, not really justify, but just try to feel or, try to think the way that she's thinking.
Right.
But, surgery makes her happy.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I think by extension, she chose herself what makes her happy. Surgery. What doesn't make her happy, maybe Kyle, but it was not a better, a good enough explanation of why she broke up.
Right. And Kyle clearly made her happy sometimes. Maybe it was only once or twice.
Yeah.
But Stephanie clearly, she came in that hospital full on, I'm about to handle my man and help him out. We're going to try this trial. I told him you're going to change his medicine. I mean, it was a really big 180.
Red dress.
Yeah, it was like a 180 turn that she made toward, from the beginning of the episode to the end.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And there was a moment where Edwards even crossed paths with Vincent. And they're talking about their loved ones,
exactly.
Quote unquote. And even Edwards was like, I'm his girlfriend, kind of.
Yeah.
But she got to that point where she was willing to admit that she was in a relationship with Kyle.
To Vincent. I wonder if she's ever admitted that to Kyle. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, probably not to Kyle, but maybe to herself.
Maybe.
I think sometimes when you say things out loud, it becomes more real.
I thought it was really great, the two of them, because Vincent and they're both in these kind of unspoken relationships. You know, Stephanie was in this relationship with Kyle. Who knows? She wouldn't tell any of the other doctors, but clearly she was in something. And then poor Vincent was in this love affair, 15-year love affair. And it was so, it was crazy to see him across the waiting room from Vincent's family, it looked like. Mm-hmm. So all he could do is from the outside look in. Yeah, it was interesting.
It's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a crappy way to end what could have been a great relationship, and especially with Wilmer Valderrama as a special guest.
But I don't feel
that's
like
crappy
this is
arc.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what I was going to say. I don't think this is the last you're going to see of Kyle.
I don't
Kyle
think so
doesn't
either.
Seem like the kind of dude who's going
to just give up.
Right, who's going to walk out with a bandage on his head,
okay.
And that's the last you're going to see him. That doesn't. No.
Well, we know that Wilmer Valderrama has a multiple character arc. So far, he's been in 3 episodes.
3, yeah.
Hopefully, maybe one more to maybe wrap out what's going to happen. If there is an actual conclusion, better conclusion,
right.
To and get maybe some closure.
Closure, maybe. I mean, I feel like he has at least one more monologue speech to Stephanie, because he's good for that, to kind of call her on her crap. I think he's good for one more speech.
I think one more good episode.
Yep. Yep, one more good episode.
And then because
the hotness might be gone.
He doesn't deserve that kind of cold, cowardly ending from.
And her explanation, I didn't get it. It didn't work for me.
No.
Maybe work for you guys. It didn't work for me. It didn't work.
Let's
didn't
talk
work.
About another group, couple / group that may not be working. Callie, Arizona, by extension, Penny.
It was really interesting how...
What side are you on, yeah, really?
It was really interesting how we started getting tweets today, even like before the show came on. And I can't remember. I'm so sorry for me not remembering who exactly tweeted us. Like, I got a feeling Callie's going to say this and it's going to get really ugly. I almost
shout
feel
out to James Jordan.
Oh, yes. Shout out to, yes.
James Jordan, 54.
I think if I was in that position, in that situation, I would have pulled an Alex and said, I'm not getting involved. Like, I'm just not choosing sides. I'm not getting involved.
Good on Alex.
Good on Alex to say no.
No. You two are both of my friends. I'm not going to choose. And I think that's it. I mean, I get Callie and Penny they're in a terrible situation where they're asking their personal friends to maybe choose side. That's just crappy situation in and of itself. Right. It's like, because two friends shouldn't ask you to choose a side.
I mean, I know it seems unrealistic, but I almost feel like the hospital should have been like a no-touch zone, like a no-ask zone.
Yeah, like all residents, anyone a part of this community,
you cannot involve them.
Hospital is immune.
Right. We know that's like unrealistic in the fact that everything happens in this hospital and they don't have any other friends outside of the hospital. I mean, we know that, but that's how I honestly feel. It should be like, come on, no. You're not asking anybody in the hospital.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, we do see situations throughout the episode. Arizona's trying to get April's approval, but then April's whole baby scare case went down. And then we also see Callie try to get Meredith.
Yeah, which, were you surprised that Meredith and Owen agreed so quickly?
Yeah.
I'm really surprised. I don't buy it. I don't see it.
Like, really?
Yeah, I don't see them going through with it. For whatever reason.
I was just surprised that Meredith and Owen was like, yes, absolutely. They were so adamant about it.
So adamant about it.
And they're like, no, of course not.
And Callie's even like,
you over Arizona.
Yeah, I know you, Callie's like, I know you guys are friends with Arizona. They were like, no, nothing like that. No.
No, think nothing of it. More so.
Meredith is only testifying because she slept with George when George and Callie were, I'm sorry, Meredith.
Oh my God. You're bringing it really way back.
I had to throw that in. Sorry.
I'm just trying to think why Meredith would say yes.
That's what I don't get.
Because she's friends with all of them.
Yeah, and Owen too. He used to be chief. Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I was really surprised that Meredith and Owen were like, sure, of course.
See, and I think that's the frustrating with just this episode. It was a great episode. But like, people's decisions, there's really no logic behind them.
They didn't say anything, but yes, so they gave us nothing.
Yeah.
To, like, go on or understand why Meredith and, you know. It's going to be interesting, though. Because I don't see them doing it. That's what I just don't see them. I don't see next week when they show the case, if we really get to see that.
I think we will. I thought it was going to be this episode,
course,
honestly.
That's what I mean. Like, we
Darn
all
it,
thought.
Editing.
That's what I mean. If editing is what it is in the past, then we will get, like, 2 seconds of them in court, really.
Yes. You're right.
This is true. And it'll be a whole 15 other storylines that they didn't tease at all.
Probably not.
those editors. Oh.
Gosh darn you. I think it was interesting how Penny was put on Arizona service. Of course, have to add the awkward tension. I put in my notes like awkward everywhere. But Arizona like freaking out on Penny.
What?
Penny, you are everywhere.
Well, you know.
You are a spy for Callie.
Yeah, but the thing about Penny, I have to say, is she does seem to kind of... Her presence isn't
she
confident.
She is everywhere, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, she doesn't have this, like, confident presence, so she does sneak up on everybody. Like, she is
She's
everywhere.
Like a ninja.
Yeah, you don't expect her to be in the next thing you hear like, excuse me. Like, that's what you hear from her. Sorry.
Well,
excuse me.
There was that situation where Joe was, like, going off on Penny because of the grant and whatnot, and here Penny was literally right behind
her. In the corner. That's where.
Sorry.
That's how she does. Excuse me.
She's a ninja.
She's always in the back. You know what I mean? Remember when she
was a fly on the wall.
Yeah, remember when she was put on Meredith's service after she first got to the hospital? Where was she in the back? Excuse me. That's her thing. I'm sorry. She is everywhere.
She's probably like, where's Waldo in every scene? She's probably always there and we just never knew it.
Yeah, she's lurking everywhere. Arizona's like, I'm going to get a restraining order. Get away from me.
Pretty much. But what do you think of, at the end of the episode, Callie... after learning that Penny was on its surface, like, oh, how was she? Was she terrible? Was she terrible to you? And Penny was like, No, actually, she wasn't. Why do you think Penny lied?
Because she doesn't want to play. She doesn't want to be a part of it. Like, she doesn't want to be what Arizona is accusing her to be.
Yeah.
Because if she does go back and say anything that happened between Arizona, Callie's going to use it. And it's going to come back to, you know, to bite Penny. Like, she just doesn't want to be a part of it. And I don't blame her.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Penny, like, if she stirred the pot as, or, like, anything she says about negatively against Arizona, that's just adding, like, fuel to the fire for Callie.
And she's still trying, Penny's still trying to fit in some respect and even figure out where she fits in this hospital.
She doesn't fit in because she's going to leave.
Well, there you go.
She's going to leave soon, you guys.
We already said that. They bought the ticket already.
Yeah, pretty much. But I did love the moment between Arizona and Weber. In the car.
Always.
And Weber's pep talk. And I'm like, I actually love their friendship.
I do too.
It's great.
Yeah, it's really great.
I loved Weber's pep talk. He's like, fight like you never fought. Stand up for yourself and believe you deserve it. You want to lie down? You don't get to. I'm like, yes, Weber.
But it made me think of Weber's speech to me, of course, talking about choices. It made me think that Weber was, like, speaking to her, like, if I had the choice again when Gray and I had Maggie, maybe I should have fought. Maybe I should have done X, Y, and Z. It was like, you just don't let these things happen without fighting kind of thing. And I loved his speech, too. Like, you just don't get a chance to. You want to lie down, you just don't get a chance to. Like, you just don't.
No, it's like, you fight.
You fight.
If you really want this,
if you really want
sole custody of Sophia, you fight.
You totally fight. He's become, like, the voice of reason that... He doesn't really have a storyline, but he's in every storyline. Like, he's everywhere.
He's, like, wisdom.
He is.
The voice
of
wisdom.
That's totally what he is. He's total wisdom. I love it. I totally love it.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Weber can come on here and be wisdom. We're going to get him a W shirt.
Yeah.
W for wisdom.
Wisdom.
I love it.
We should just have a segment every episode. Weber's wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom from Weber.
What was Weber's wisdom moment of this episode?
Weber wisdom moments. I love it. It was exactly what Arizona needed at the, because she had that moment of self-doubt that mm-hmm. she was going to truly lose the case.
And she was like, but it was almost a thing of what he said, not only do you think you're going to lose, you don't really think you deserve to win. Mm-hmm. And she was really like, I know I'm going to lose this case. I'm going to lose my daughter. And she gave no reason, but she just didn't seem like she even thought she deserved it.
Yeah. It was great. It was a great moment.
It was really great. Yeah. And you don't see Arizona get emotional like that a lot, especially lately. Since she and Callie got divorced, she's been like happy-go-lucky. I'm like going out. I'm hooking up with a bunch of chicks kind of thing. So this is kind of a turn for her, which is interesting for her character.
And I think that just shows like how much, what's like more important in Arizona's life right now. Mm-hmm. Like she tried to have a relationship with, granted she had fun here and there, but if that didn't work out for her, maybe that, like maybe something to kind of fill that void or make her feel better just in and of itself is to fight for something what she truly believes in.
Yeah.
Family.
She does.
What actually means the most to her.
And it's Sophia.
It's Sophia.
I don't know. I can't. There's like, we both love these characters. And so there's not enough to say, oh, it should be Callie. To me, and I know everyone's been out there like on YouTube and with their comments going back and forth and giving their opinion. Mm. I don't have a strong enough, like, I don't think there's real reason for either one to, you know, I think it's going to be a lose-lose regardless of what happens. That's what I mean.
So does that take us to predictions then?
Oh, let's do it.
Let's get to it.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yes. So we see in the previews. That we're going to find out who gets sole custody over Sophia.
That's what was teased.
Editing. Maybe they'll leave that on a cliffhanger and then it's the next episode we'll find out
and
the
there
answer.
You go.
That'd be terrible.
And there you go.
Let's not predict that.
Yeah.
So it's Arizona versus Kelly. People versus people, man. Law. You're a lawyer. There you go. So who do you think is going to get custody?
That's a hard one. You know, I mean...
It's not a fair question
to
ask.
It's not a fair question. And unlike a lot of custody cases we hear about, there's no bad parent here, right? We always talk about in the best interest of the child. What really in the best interest of the child? Like, these two ladies have loved each other. Their relationship didn't work out, but they've always worked to take care of Sophia and give her the best childhood ever. I don't know.
And it's hard to choose a side either.
It's hard to choose a side.
Like, you're going to need someone on your side, but you don't want to choose any sides.
It's, I don't, you know.
Because I love both characters.
I love both characters. I mean, if Sophia stays with Arizona in Seattle, then that means Callie's going to have to come and see her. And vice versa.
Either way, it's a lot of traveling.
Maybe I'm punking out, but I'm not trying to punk out. I just don't. There's no right answer to me.
Like, and, you know, reading people's comments. Thank you, everyone, on YouTube.
Yeah,
and,
they do. Yeah, and you're great.
People who tweet at us and whatnot. We do read them. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were saying maybe that Callie would get sole custody only because she is technically the biological mother.
Yeah.
But have that default back to reason why you get sole custody. It's like, no, sometimes the biological parent isn't the best choice in a situation.
It happens all the time. But
I love Callie too, but like a lot of people are saying maybe Callie as a default she would get.
Right. Which sole. I think, unfortunately, I think if we looked at court cases, like historically, a lot of times it's the mom
favor
gets.
The mother.
It's the favor of the mom. But you have two moms here.
You do.
You have two moms. You have a biological mom. But I'm pretty sure when Mark passed away, Arizona adopted Sophia. I think we had a couple comments about that. But I'm pretty sure. So it's not as if she doesn't have the full parental rights. I don't know.
We can't choose sides right now.
Can't choose sides right now. Sorry, people.
No.
We're punking out.
So hopefully we'll find out next episode.
Hopefully.
Or hopefully the whole thing just gets dropped. And Callie decides not to go to New York. Penny leaves. Bye. And then this whole thing's resolved.
I do have to say, the only prediction I can see is, and somebody else, I'm just going to bite off somebody else's comment. I do think Penny's going to be the one who just simply says, Callie, no. Like, yeah. I love you, but this is too much. This is too much to ask. This is, if you come because of everything that happens, you're going to resent coming. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah, I'm just kind of having, like, maybe Penny's the one that breaks it off before it even happens.
I think Penny's going to be
the one.
She's the one
that breaks up with Callie, realizing how much problem this is causing.
It's just going to cause.
Penny leaves on her own, Callie stays. Done.
But Penny's gone. But yeah, that's...
Yeah, Penny's gone. And that writes her out of the show.
Writes her out of the show. Just her, the way she handled this, like, last minute or so of this episode where she just doesn't want to be involved and she's seeing what it's creating.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I think Penny's going to be like, Callie, I'm sorry. Don't even... I love you, the whole big speech, but I'm out of here and you can't go.
Yeah, bye. One side note, Debbie Allen actually directed this episode.
Because she's the greatest.
Because she's amazing.
Because she is the greatest ever. Like, ever, ever.
Yep, you go, girl.
Yeah, all she's right. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening and watching and whatnot. Really fun episode to talk about.
It was good.
Where can everyone keep following you, Tara?
You can find me at TJ Wagging Her Tail or WordsWineWomen.com.
There you go. And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, social media in general, at AfterBuzzTV. Rate, comment, subscribe, download, tell friends.
The whole nine.
We only have like a handful more episodes of the season. So what more could happen?
Well, I guess we'll find
out. More natural disasters.
We'll totally
we'll
find
out. Because that's what Grey's Anatomy does best. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.